19. On Parnassos, 10 years ago. No matter how Brendel explained that they would ride inside the vehicle, Siv didn't understand how it could work until she was inside it and it was moving. Brendel sat in the front, working complicated levers and buttons with his hands and feet, while Phasma sat in the turret beside him, her blaster on her hip and her hand on the huge gun that swiveled around under a clear dome. Siv, Gosta, and Torben sat squashed together on a bench in back. The vehicle buzzed and thrummed up through her, making her teeth grind. She wrapped her fingers around the bench and hoped it would be over soon, or that they would at least be out under the sky instead of wedged between the smooth, unnatural walls of the building. Siv had complicated feelings about Terpsichore Station and the droids who had effectively died there, rendered silent and still by a few swipes of Brendel's thick fingers. They'd wiped out a civilization about the size of the Skire, and neither Brendel nor Phasma had given it a moment's thought. Siv glanced at the troopers hovering on the speeder bikes. Thus far, they hadn't shared their real names or shown any sort of personality. Did Brendel's First Order care so little about basic humanity that they wanted their people, or at least their soldiers, as pliant and uniform as droids? How could Phasma so quickly adhere to this frame of mind? Recently, Siv had seen Phasma kill an ally, defy her brother, abandon the Skire, and now this. Her leader wore a helmet and kept her plans to herself. Perhaps Phasma was changing, or perhaps she was merely showing her true nature for the first time. The hangar led to a smaller hallway, much like the ones they'd traversed on foot, but wide enough to accommodate their vehicle, or even three vehicles, abreast. Brendel's troopers zoomed alongside the Gav on their speeders, skimming over the ground without touching it. The hallway was very long and sloped up slightly, lit by the same cold, whitish-blue light that had plagued Siv ever since she'd entered the station. Up ahead, yet another smooth white wall stood in their way. Brendel stopped the vehicle, got out, and tapped on the pad until a door slid open. Siv didn't know what she was expecting. Day or night or yet more endless white. What she saw was a solid wall of gray sand that collapsed inward to reveal a bright point beyond. The sun. She shielded her eyes as Brendel climbed back into the vehicle and set it in motion. The wheels caught and dug in, spinning uphill until they caught Purchase. Rumbling up out of the hole, they emerged in the middle of the gray desert, the Gav's wheels churning and spitting out a plume of sand. The troopers on their speeders burst out of the hole and flew over the sand as swiftly as diving seabirds. Once the Gav was free, it found some speed, but Phasma called out for Brendel to stop. "We don't know which direction we're going," she said. He obligingly halted the vehicle, and she climbed down from the turret and walked a few steps away, looking at the sun and the area around them. There was no telling where they'd been when TB3 had found them, nor where Terpsichore Station was by comparison. Most of the compound was buried under sand, round humps of white shining through and disappearing again as the wind swirled around it. Siv shivered, knowing they'd been underground all along.
"We were headed north before," Brendel said.
Phasma slowly turned, the wind whipping the feathers and fur around her collar. It felt strange, Siv thought, to see her leader in a smooth helmet instead of her fierce, rust-red mask. Siv wondered if the others knew her own lichen-green mask better than her face, as she sometimes felt about them. Torben was Torben. But when he wore his white mask with its black slashes and stylized horns, he became a brutal monster. Gosta was Gosta, but her dark gray mask disappeared in the night, making her seem almost a nimble shadow with huge white eyes. It was funny how wearing their masks hid their faces, and yet somehow made them more themselves. The helmet only made Phasma seem more like a machine. As she wandered around outside, Gosta's fingers sought Siv's where they wrapped around the edge of the seat.
"We're so far from home,"
the girl said, her voice going high and reminding Siv of how very young she still was. Siv smiled, although Gosta couldn't see it under her mask. But we're closer to our new home in the sky.
I feel like I liked it in there. Is that wrong?
Torben leaned over, his terrifying mask at odds with his gentle voice.
It is normal for the bird to love captivity, he said. At least until it longs to fly again.
What's that mean?
I don't know. But my mother used to say it quite a bit when I told her I wanted to stay in the Nautilus forever. It was open for a whole week at a time still when I was little.
Gosta looked down, pouting.
The Constar food was nice.
The food was easy. Doesn't mean it was good for you.
Torben handed her a bit of jerky.
This stuff's better for your teeth and your gut. Soft food makes for soft people.
As Gosta took the food with thanks, Phasma got back in the vehicle and pointed.
We need to go that way.
Which direction is that? Brendel asked.
The right one.
And how did you calculate that?
She just knows, Siv said.
You don't know where we are, and you haven't seen the smoke in days. Are you sure?
Phasma leaned down from the turret, her leathers creaking. She pulled off her helmet and pinned Brendel with her glare.
I would stake my life on it. I am staking my life on it. If you want to find your ship and your people, we go this way. If you want to die on Parnassus, choose your own direction.
Brendel considered it, chewing his lip for just a moment, unsure. He now wore a thick jacket with a furred hood Phasma had brought from the storage room, as well as Gosta's old pair of goggles. If another skin wolf went for him, at least he'd have some protection. For the first time, he wore a thick line of oracle salve over each cheek. Siv considered warning him to cover the rest of his skin before he got burned, but she didn't want Brendel Hux to give her that stare of his, the one that suggested he had just added someone's name to an enemy's list.
Well then, he said. We'll go your way.
But the way he said it suggested that he considered it a losing bet, and if things went wrong, Phasma would suffer. In truth, if she was wrong, they would all suffer and die. Both hands on the wheel, Brendel turned the vehicle in the direction the Skyr warrior had indicated. Phasma put her helmet back on and climbed back into the turret, and the next leg of their journey began.